Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is a Thursday morning, September the 26th, 2024. Travis Ryer back with you on the channel, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. It is Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Chino is ready to go.
Yes.
So to speak. So we're ready to go. Our show mascot right there with Brent. Brent, I was thinking about this Saturday in the Southeastern Conference. You know what it kind of feels like to me? It feels like an old school New Year's Day.
Yeah.
How the games lay out. You know, right. You got an early contest that could have some intrigue to it in Kentucky and Ole Miss. Then you get to that 3:30 Eastern window. You get to Oklahoma, Auburn. That could have been a bowl game in the past before OU joined the Southeastern Conference. You've also got Texas A&M in Arkansas at 3:30 Eastern from Arlington, Texas. And then, of course, you get to the big one, the granddaddy of the Southeastern Conference these days, Georgia and Alabama, Saturday night at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
That Arkansas-Texas game – in Jerry's world, as you know, is maybe as emotional and highly charged game as any. It usually comes down to the fourth quarter in a lot of ways. A&M's had their way in the series, but that's going to be interesting to see where that goes. And you're right, we've got some other games that have a lot of defense and not a whole lot of offense. And then the other way around, it is indeed a fascinating week, but what Travis is talking about is it's that time in the schedule, and we're going to probably have Trav, at least a couple of these to where we've got at least a good quarter of the conference that they're off this week.
They are, and it almost feels like that was by design because the league was anticipating Alabama, Georgia kind of, and it also is at a point in the schedule where it makes sense too. We just saw Georgia and Alabama come off bye weeks. A lot of teams going on the bye week this week. But again, no shortage of premium sort of matchups. And I'll tell you, it has been a crazy week because we are 3 to 4 weeks into this thing. You're at that red shirt cutoff. We saw it with UNLV yesterday with a couple of players, including starting quarterback Matt Sluka. We saw it last night in the Southeastern Conference, right? Creed Whittemore.
That's right.
The wide receiver for Mississippi State, the Gainesville, Florida native and UF legacy. So your eyes immediately looked to Gainesville, perhaps, for him. Although that situation down there is anything but settled. Right. But you've got all this administrative stuff you got to take into account at this point in the season, too.
Oh, yeah. And this is a time if a lot of these guys have already played in four games and they can redshirt without losing their eligibility. And Trav, that name, Bear Alexander, coming from Georgia, going to USC, as you're very familiar with, is going to sit out the rest of.
Yeah, his guardian wasn't happy with the 21 snaps he got against Michigan last week.
Listen, here's the thing with Bear, including high school, Trev, I've lost count. It's like 7 or 8 different schools that Bear has been in, and hopefully he will begin to settle down a little bit instead of being a nomad all his life.
Sometimes guardians can guard you from maybe reaching your full potential.
I don't know if
this is what's going on with Bear Alexander, but it could also be that Bear Alexander at the Power Five at the elite level is a 21 snap a game guy.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be as simple as that, but let's get into the matchups for Saturday. And we're going to start right there at noon Eastern with the Kentucky Wildcats traveling to Ole Miss to take on Lane Kiffin's Rebels. Ole Miss, a 17.5-point favorite this game. Again, noon Eastern on ABC. I think a lot of folks are going to be interested to see how Ole Miss offensively responds to what has to be the biggest challenge it's faced to date in Mark Stoops and the Kentucky defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And Kentucky fans certainly hoping that their team can play somewhat similar to that they did to Georgia. a few weeks ago, Kentucky may start 0-3 in the league. If they lose this game, that will be tough. Nice little matchup between Trey Harris, the Ole Miss wide receiver, and Maxwell Hairston also, too. This Ole Miss team is just amazing, Trav. And we understand they really haven't played anybody. Number one in the nation in passing yards, 423 a game, 55 points a game they're averaging. And for good measure, as Lane likes to do, they're running the ball, the number 12 in the nation with that, too. I mean, this is a game Ole Miss should win comfortably before it's over, but certainly bigger games coming up for the Rebels. And Kentucky certainly wants to continue their improvement.
Yeah, for me, a couple of these games that we're going to talk about so much of offense versus defense, mm-hmm. where some of these teams are concerned, like Kentucky's defense with that Ole Miss offense, which tells me it'll probably come down to the other side, competitive this game is. Brock Vandegrift, those receivers for Kentucky, and also validation games, I think, for some of these units mm-hmm. on these SEC mm-hmm. teams. I think about Ole Miss's defense. It looks like Ole Miss is far more complete as a true college football playoff contender than it has been in the last several years. And if that is the case, then Ole Miss's defense Saturday should make pretty easy work of this Kentucky defense offense, at least to the point where that 17.5 point spread by the end of the game, it's something like 35-17 or 35-14, 38-17, something like that. I think that's what we're going to learn as much as anything about this Ole Miss team with Walter Nolan and Trey Amos mm-hmm. and the guys that they added on the defensive side of the ball via the transfer portal. Are they really a fortified group on the defensive side of the ball?
If people haven't seen this, the best thing I've seen all week, and I'm guessing you have by now, is Lane Kiffin basically talking and watching his daughter apply makeup while they discuss life together. The daughter, whose attitude is very similar to my oldest one, Trav, kind of runs the show in this clip they've got as they talk about various things. Her wanting to go celebrate her birthday in New York in December. And Lane reminds her that they are in the playoffs. And is she familiar with what the playoffs are? And that mom's coming, Dad, what do you think about that? So it was easy. Lane being Lane, wouldn't it, Trav?
Yeah, you know, my daughter's never had that problem with what I do. They knew that December, because of Nick Saban, jolly St. Nick, I guess you could say in December for Alabama fans, we were probably going to be on the road. You know, our youngest Tatum, her birthday is January 3rd. So she celebrated birthdays at bowl sites for a lot of her childhood. Yeah. You know what else we've got starting this week too, Brent? We've got availability reports where injuries are concerned. And I'll say this about this Kentucky Ole Miss matchup. Looks like Lane put about everybody on the team on that. Look at that for Ole Miss on there. Walter Nolan is on that injury report listed as probable. I think Walter will probably play in the game. JJ Pegues, the other defensive tackle, probable. Micah Pettis, the offensive lineman, probable. That's a hell of a list, Lane, submitted to the league office there. Kentucky, conversely, does have five players designated as out. Really good running back, too. And Trey and him listed as doubtful for this game. Devin Smith listed as doubtful at the linebacker position for the Kentucky Wildcats. So some things to take into account. We'll work through maybe some more of those as we get into some of these other matchups. And as we move to that 3:30 window on Saturday, Brent, a couple of very intriguing games for different reasons. Quarterback play going to be a big part of this window, with three of these four teams kind of in flux behind center going into Saturday. Taylen Green is the guy in Arkansas. There's no question about that. Talked about him a lot here on the program. Thrill a minute going back to the Oklahoma State game a couple of 3 weeks ago. Really? Saw it again against Auburn. Not sure you can entirely trust him as much as you would like.
Right.
But then he'll do things like he did against Auburn, where he moves to his left and throws a ball 65 yards in the air on 3rd and 19.
Yeah.
For a touchdown. That really felt like a backbreaker in that win over the Auburn Tigers last Saturday. So when you look at this matchup, Texas A&M, quarterback situation of its own, what kind of stands out to you?
Oh, it would have to be what you just said, and Marcel Reed and how he's doing. Connor Wiegman is still hurt, but Reed has really come along. Now, this passing attack for A&M is still struggling. They're 116th in the nation. They have picked it up running the football. They're 8th in Division I, averaging 256 a game, which really I thought is certainly a pretty good improvement. Now, Arkansas has got a really good rush defense that is coming along, averaging just 83 yards a game. So certainly can appreciate that one. But look, again, this is an Arkansas team that really ought to be undefeated. Yeah. If they'd have beat Oklahoma State a little bit earlier, but Jaquindon Jackson making his presence known, although Auburn, I thought, played pretty well defensively. But Trav, again, this is a fascinating game, is it not? I mean, these two schools, fierce rivalry that maybe people don't understand all the way along. In Jerry's world, with Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboy owner, wanting to be involved in this. So, the plates that are spinning on the periphery, frankly, are intriguing. But on the field, this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, no doubt. And for Sam Pittman, as we know, it's another huge game. I mean, it was a big, big win to go to Auburn on the road and get that W. But as we talked about, just a real lost opportunity at Oklahoma State a couple Saturdays before that. Give this Arkansas team and its staff credit for picking itself up off the deck. It didn't look good for a little while against UAB the next week, but battled through that one and then took care of business at Auburn. You know, if Arkansas can get a win here and get to 4 wins.
Yeah.
Still got Mississippi State on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I think Louisiana Tech, according to your notes, is still out there. This could essentially, you would think, lock up bowl eligibility, at least for Sam Pittman, which would then give him at least a leg to stand on, I would think.
Yeah, it would be. And look, Trav, how many third party calls if they're able to get into a bowl game and have a nice season, will one Bobby Petrino receive over the next few weeks?
You never know. Bobby's doing a nice job. Bobby's still a little bit confounding for me. You know, he'll dial up a reverse flea flicker in the first half against Auburn.
Really?
And then getting goal to goal and won't run Taylen Green at the quarterback position. It worked out. Arkansas still got in the end zone, so all's well that ends well. But yeah, that was kind of the Bobby Petrino Bowl with previous stops at Auburn and Arkansas on his resume in that win from a week ago. Let's talk about another 3:30 Eastern matchup. This one on ABC, the Auburn Tigers looking to find some semblance of direction on offense with the Oklahoma Sooners also in flux at that quarterback position. It's interesting, Brent, to me, because when you make some of these decisions at the quarterback position, like it appears Oklahoma has made, like Hugh Freeze has tried to make, and kind of going from one to the other, back to the other.
Yeah.
You're making these days big picture decisions. You're essentially telling quarterbacks like Jackson Arnold, we're going with Michael Hawkins Jr., not just this week. The way a guy like Jackson Arnold hears this, whether it's laid out specifically or not, is that this is our guy. You're not. And so for Jackson Arnold, a former five-star recruit, the immediate attention turns to, okay, where's Jackson Arnold going next? Because it just feels like the transfer portal is the default option in this era.
Yeah. Well, and Trav, didn't they move heaven and earth in order to get Jackson Arnold in there to begin with? And then you're dealing with this situation, Michael Hawkins, obviously played fairly well, mostly after the game was decided. Oklahoma, number one defensively and number one in the nation in forced turnovers. You mentioned the injury report. Tyler Keltner, the Oklahoma kicker, is supposed to miss this game. That could be huge. They're getting Nick Anderson back with this too. But I can tell you right now, the numbers on Hugh Freeze in the last 17 games against Division I opponents, Hugh is 5-12. Brian Harsin 9-8 in his first 17 games. Hugh is 8-9. As a matter of fact, I thought the Auburn defense played well, but look, the two things, and I want your comments on this too. But what Hugh has done for public relations for this football team has been an absolute disaster. Going back and forth with your quarterback, and then rant and raving at halftime on the Auburn radio network that we got to find a guy who can throw it to the team with the same jerseys and a running back that can that won't fumble, and then talking about the well, if we played Arkansas 10 times, we'd beat them probably 9. I'm thinking, Hugh, what in the world are you smoking with some of these things, Trav? Help me out here. Where in the world is Hugh's mind now?
Yeah, Hugh's not in a good place, and the program really isn't either. And
it's not.
Look, this is a program. This is a university.
Yes.
That stuck its neck out for Hugh Freeze in a lot of ways. There was a lot of blowback to that hire.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially it came down to the potential to win at the highest level with Hugh Freeze. He has not lived up to his end of it at all. This isn't an Auburn thing, in my opinion. This is a Hugh Freeze thing.
Yes, absolutely.
And he has inspired zero confidence, most recently in his handling of the quarterback situation. You know, typically after you win some games – and maybe a championship of some sort, you get to throw players and everyone else under the bus.
Yeah, right.
But you got to do that first. I mean, Steve Spurrier had no problem throwing teams or players under the bus. But Steve Spurrier was winning Southeastern Conference championships.
He was. Absolutely.
Almost every year, especially when he was at the University of Florida, obviously. But it's a mess. There's no doubt about it at Auburn right now. And the Sooners are a 2-point road favorite going into that one. Mm. And I know some of our Oklahoma friends here on the channel bring it up, but we did the reasonable expectations for all these teams back in the offseason. And mine was, it's reasonable to think Oklahoma could start 0-3 in SEC play. And this is the game to me that's going to determine that, because I don't see this Oklahoma team beating Texas. I know things happen in that rivalry, including here very recently. But if you're Brent Venables, and I know that fan base and that administration has been very much committed to Brent Venables, but if you don't win this one and then maybe Texas hammers you in Dallas and you're 0-3 in the league, then the question becomes, is this the guy to take us into this new frontier that's going to be exceedingly difficult than anything we've dealt with previously?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no question. But Trev, with their defense and really approaching the elite status, I'm not – look, if Peyton Thorne thought he was running for his life last week, what's he going to be this week?
I don't understand why it's so difficult. What I really don't understand, everybody talks about quarterback with Auburn, but the one thing I thought Auburn was going to be able to hang its hat on was those backs and running the football.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And so maybe, Hugh, if you did that a little more and a little more effectively, you wouldn't be asking your quarterbacks to do as much as it seems like he's asking those guys to do. So a big one on the plains in terms of noise around both programs when you talk about Oklahoma and Auburn coming up on Saturday afternoon. We've also got a late afternoon affair out in Austin, Texas, as the top-ranked Longhorns will welcome Mississippi State as a SEC competitor. Tough situation for Mississippi State, Brent. Blake Shapen on top of everything in that disappointing home loss to the University of Florida last Saturday in Starkville. Loss for the season. Another freshman going to jump in there behind center, it appears, in Michael Van Buren Jr. Not an easy place. Not an easy spot to make your first start, even with Quinn Ewers, I guess, still dealing with that abdominal strain at the quarterback position for Texas.
Oh, yeah. And Arch Manning has done well to be there. But this Mississippi State team, Trev, I do a podcast with Shane Matthews, a former Gator great quarterback, and he is the radio analyst for Florida. He said, obviously in the Mississippi State game last week, he said Mississippi State's the worst ACC team he's ever seen.
Ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but look, in fairness, the injuries have been unbelievable in a lot of ways. And listen, even one of their better guys that they have got, the Whitmore kid who came from Gainesville, Creed Whitmore, he's redshirting now.
Yeah, so, we talked about that earlier,
Man, that's something that is really tough. So, look, they might need a they may need a running clock for this one before it's over. But, again, this may really work out well for Texas, not so much that Quinn Ewers got hurt, but you can get Arch Manning in against some SEC competition and be able to I think they know they can depend on him at this point. So that's a wonderful situation to have, frankly, if you're Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend for injuries last weekend. We're going to talk about LSU coming up here in a little bit with a massive one on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, this is – you're right about Arch Manning. Get him to work now because you get to Oklahoma, some of these other games, Georgia coming up. You may very well need him if this turns out to be that's a right. lingering thing for Quinn Ewers. I guess if there was a bright spot for Mississippi State last week, it's that it ran the football effectively. And that seems to be a bright spot until you consider that Florida's rush defense is one of the very, very worst maybe in all of college football right now. So I don't know if you can really think about it in terms of applying that sort of success to what you're going to see from Texas this week. And, boy, Mississippi State defensively is horrid.
They really are.
Horrid.
Yes.
I know Coleman Hutzler is in his first year and all those things, but as bad as that looks right now on that side of the ball, and it's not just a personnel thing.
Yeah, I mean,
there's people running free on just about every play against Mississippi State, it seems like, with a lot of space. It might be a situation where Lebby, even after year one, has to make a call about the defensive leadership for the Bulldogs. Primetime, Saturday night, Bryant-Denny Stadium. Second-ranked Georgia travels to Tuscaloosa to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide, ABC, the varsity game in all of college football for week five. Yes. Brent, there's so many different storylines you can look at. There's even, you know, crossover where staff is concerned.
Right, right.
Christian Robinson, the Alabama defensive coach, played at the University of Georgia. Treveris Robinson, now on the Georgia staff, was on the Alabama staff last season. So we talk about player movement and those type of things, but the coaching movement certainly lines up with a lot of that as well. I'm going to just ask you, is it as simple as the Georgia defense against this Alabama offense on Saturday night, or there's some other things about this matchup that maybe you think rank right there with that?
Well, there are a bunch of things, but this is a game still with two of the best, if not the best rosters in the nation. I know Ohio State would certainly have a say about that. But these games, as complicated as we want to make it, with the two Heisman Trophy candidates at quarterback and Carson Beck and Jalen Milrow, this is a line of scrimmage game. Frankly, it's the Alabama offensive line, which seems to have found themselves against a very good Georgia defensive line that Kirby still bemoans the fact where they have not been able to rush the passer as they would like to do. And then the Alabama defensive line against the Georgia offensive line, I think without Tate Ratledge, and what are they going to do? They've got depth to where they can that fill in for Ratledge, but I thought that was a blow. Kirby is 24-3 after an off week. But the reality is, when you look at Kalen DeBoer's record after an off week, it's pretty impressive within itself. The atmosphere there, President Trump going to be in attendance, a crowd. I think this game may, if the weather's good, and I think it will be, is going to be similar to the 2011 Alabama LSU game. In some way. So you're right about that.
Yeah. 9-6 game coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. The it just absolutely unbelievable. And Trev, the question has been asked to you is how excited is the ticket man about this game at this point in the
week? You know, that's the thing. You talk about the 12-team playoff and does it take some of the shine off of a regular season matchup like this? Based on the secondary ticket market, which is still pretty strong, it's not 2011 Alabama LSU strong. If you go back and think, it was like $1,000 get-in almost for that game in the days leading up. I think this one's more around $250, something in that neighborhood. Still very, very strong. And then the TV numbers are going to be crazy good for this matchup. So, yeah, when you think about it in terms of the impactfulness of this matchup in the regular season, because the loser of this game isn't out of the college football playoff mix
by no means,
by any stretch. But it's meaningful to Kirby Smart. I'm sure he's tired of Alabama.
Yes.
Now, what's the one box Georgia hasn't checked?
Yep, that's right.
Kirby Smart. It's the Alabama. It's the Bama box.
Yes, it is.
And now the old man's out of there. You know, Saban is going to be on the college game day set on Saturday. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear him. Now, I'm sure there's some paranoia that he's been in those football offices off Bryant Drive all week, loading up Kane Womack and that defensive staff with all kinds of thoughts and how to go at Kirby and how he does things and whatever. But it I agree. It's going to be a line of scrimmage game. I like Alabama's ability to hurt you in different ways on offense. I think that could be the difference because situational football becomes so big in games like this where the talent level is so close.
Yes.
Red zone, third down, fourth quarter, who can finish the game? Last year in Atlanta, that was Alabama, and they did it in large part with Jalen Milroe's legs. And it took Tommy Reese a while to kind of get around to that. It was really the second half stuff that we saw from Alabama that made them, you know, difficult to beat in that game. I don't think Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan are going to wait around to unleash everything they need to with Jalen Milroe to win this football game. And it's also interesting. We talk about it from the Kirby perspective, but from the Kalen DeBoer perspective, because I think there's this thought out there. Well, we'll see what this guy does now on the big stage. He just coached in a national championship game.
That's right.
But there, it is different. It is different in this league, and especially with this matchup. So, plenty of storylines. What are you thinking? Who do you like in this game, Brent?
Well, I'm going back and forth during the week, but I do like Alabama for a lot of the reasons that you said. And look, I still think this is going to be just a run between the tackles game at some point. And I do like what Justice Haynes and Jim Miller have said. And Kirby's been very forthcoming. He said in the SEC championship game last year, their offensive line dominated us in the first half. And that went a long way for Alabama winning the game.
And I think Alabama's getting that right at the right time with this team, as we saw at Wisconsin, understanding Georgia's going to be a much greater challenge. Not saying Wisconsin in any form or fashion is relatable to what they're going to see. But, you know, some of those guys like Jaden Roberts and Tyler Booker, they had their way on the interior with Georgia a good bit in Atlanta. And I think ultimately there are still some questions about the health of Georgia up front defensively and that pass rush and some things like that. I think it's just going to be, you know, a great game that could come down to the kickers for all we know.
Absolutely.
There's storylines there. You got the reigning Groves Award winner for Alabama and Graham Nicholson. But that was in the MAC last year.
Yes.
If there's going to be a step up for, say, a Kalen DeBoer or someone like that, it's probably going to be more so potentially anyway for Graham Nicholson and these punters for both these teams.
No doubt.
We can talk about these defenses, but these punters for both these teams, they don't give up returns.
No.
It's not just that they consistently can flip the field with 50-yard, 50-plus yard punts. They hang them up there in a way, and they've got gunners and coverage personnel that really keep returns to a minimum. So I anticipate some long fields on Saturday night, barring some takeaways that could certainly chime into this. I'll tell you, guy, you know, Mike Bobo is the whipping boy of that Georgia fan base.
No doubt.
Talked about this with Josh Pate here on the channel yesterday. It occurred to me that Mike Bobo in some ways is like the late Mal Moore was for Alabama.
I agree.
Remember Mal when he was the offensive coordinator, especially for Gene Stallings. Oh my gosh. I think, and it played at Alabama, was a beloved figure, no doubt. Mal Moore hired Nick Saban. That's all you need to say as the athletic director. Who knows? Maybe this means Mike Bobo one day will be the AD at UGA. But I'll say this about Mike, too. Knowing Mike a little bit from the past like I do, if there's a guy that's not impacted by the noise, all that,
right.
It's Mike Bobo.
Oh yeah.
I just knowing him as little as I do, that guy's wired in a way where it doesn't impact him all that much, if at all. Hey, let's talk about South Alabama at number 14 LSU. It's a tough spot to be in Saturday night for these two teams with Alabama and Georgia on the other side, but the Tigers coming off a solid win over visiting UCLA last week. In a mid-afternoon affair at Tiger Stadium, Brent. LSU favored by 22. South Alabama went to Boone, North Carolina last week and thumped Appalachian State. I don't know where that really came from, but that's probably why this line is only 22. But the Harold Perkins news, man, the injury to the star linebacker for LSU, along with Blake Shapen at Mississippi State. It was that headliner from last week you just really didn't want to see.
Well, and he joins John Emery at running back and Jacobian Guillory. Yeah. Those guys are all out for the year. So, look, it's something you and I have talked about for years. Is just the meat grinder of the SEC schedule. And, I mean, for LSU, Trav, to lose, two or three more starters – by the time you get around to October and November in this league is really difficult, to say the least. But Garrett Nussmeier still continues to play well. South Alabama, that they've got, they get a bye week before the Ole Miss game. But let's give South Alabama a little bit of love. I'm with you on that one. You got to love that name's Fluff Bothwell, don't we, Trav? They're running back. Who has done a pretty good job. Lord, they've scored 135 points in the two-game stretch.
Major Applewhite, your head coach now, down in Mobile. Right. How about that for Major?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, when you score 87 points, it's pretty easy to jack up that that average, to say the least. But they do have people's attention, and they could be in this game a little bit. But LSU needs to do some fine-tuning, don't they, Trav, before they go to the bye week and start looking at Ole Miss?
I think the schedule actually sets up pretty well right here LSU, get this game. Now, look, South Alabama offensively could do some things that just could underscore the continued concerns that LSU has on the defensive side of the ball, especially with now some of the injuries and the absences they're going to have to deal with for the remainder of the season. But you get South Alabama here, as you said, get the bye week, go into that, and then you just put everything you got into that road trip on October the 12th there at Ole Miss. So big, big weekend, coaches under the microscope, new quarterbacks under the microscope, coordinators under the microscope. You know, I talked about Mike Bobo with Georgia, and this goes back to it being more nuanced in that Georgia-Alabama matchup than just the Alabama offense against the Georgia defense. I think this is a big game for Kane Womack, the first-year defensive coordinator at Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think it's – talk about Olin Mills moments. You don't know how you look until you get your picture took. This is one of those for a guy like Kane Womack in a game like this. Because I look at that Alabama defense and, look, there's still question marks. Mm-hmm. And I think Georgia has the personnel and the approach that can navigate some of that successfully. Yeah. And I think we talk so much about interior toughness and line of scrimmage, and it's very, very true in a game like this with Georgia and Alabama. But Georgia is going to go into this game Saturday night thinking they are more physical on the outside.
Absolutely.
The game. I think Georgia's going to come out, flip the ball out to the corners, flip it out to the receivers, get some of those tight ends flexed out, split them out wide as blockers in space, and see if these new DBs on the perimeter for Alabama can hold up to the physicality from that standpoint. So a lot of different things to consider. As you can tell, we could spend a lot more time talking about that.
That's right.
If we needed to do that. But Brent, as always, great stuff with you. By the way, we also appreciate everybody tuning in live here. Our guy Bob checking in. Benjamin checking in. How about that?
Good.
There was a Roll Tide from Sheffield, England. Sheffield, is that where I think the band Def Leppard, Benjamin. It might be their origins.
Excellent. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to always figure out a way to get rock and roll in here. And Derek Lee, he's checking in from Auburn territory in Lee County. Love it. We love the interaction. Our guy, Tex Tider, he gets a little touchy if you don't throw him a shutout.
Yeah.
A shout out.
Yes.
If you don't do it, he'll come back in the comments on YouTube and kind of complain about that. He's also he's a big fan of Chino, as you can
see right there. Well, it's appreciated. And Trav, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my grief is still kind of fresh with Diego and Vanderbilt losing a game they should have won, Trav.
They've done that a couple weeks in a row now.
Yes.
And but my guy Diego continues to be must-see streaming, if not exactly always TV. You know, you can find Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt quarterback, man. He gives them a chance.
He does.
The problem for Vanderbilt is he's a one and done.
Yeah.
So if you're not having some sort of that magical season with him, you're thinking, okay, he is fun to watch, but at the end of the day, we're still not going to a bowl game.
Right.
We kind of let a couple games get away that could have really shaped a magical season, and then he's gone after this season. We hope you, our viewers, will stick with us right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. There's a notification bell right there, too. If you'll hit that notification bell, you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on the channel. If you wouldn't mind, hit us with a thumbs up. A like would help us out tremendously as well. Yeah. Tex Tider's a big fan.
I like that.
Big fan
And Trav, on a serious note, prayers for the state of Florida with over the next few days, with hurricane coming through, the aftermath, no power. Just the gamut of situations. And look, my daughter and son-in-law live in Atlanta, in Trav, certain parts of Georgia are supposed to get as much or more damage in rain and wind as they do in the state of Florida.
Not to make light of it, but it almost feels like this is an ACC storm, because the Big Bend with Tallahassee, Atlanta, maybe up into Greenville, Clemson.
True.
But absolutely, everyone take precautions, be safe. It is a serious situation. And again, sort of that Big Bend, Tallahassee area, the Gulf Coast, just can't seem to catch a break this time of year.
Really.
Brent, we really appreciate it, my man. Look forward to all the action this week in the Southeastern Conference, and look forward to catching up with you early next week.
Can't wait, bud. Have a great weekend. And as again, prayers for everyone to stay safe in the storms.
Absolutely. And with that, for Brent Beard, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanking you once again for joining us right here for Second Helping on Ryer on YouTube. And until next time, So long, everybody.